Blog Talk Radio.
See, whatever you're doing, however you spend your time,
you're good, Tim.
Am I good? Am I live? I'm ready. You hear me, Derek?
Hello, Tim. You're on. Can you hear me?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I was asking. I didn't know if I was ready. Okay, so we on. Okay.
Right, yeah, you're on live now.
Okay. All right, thank you so much. All right, no problem. All right. All right, thank you, and welcome back. This is Tim the Overseer. Welcome to Reign and Love Ministries, and I'm back live on the Chaos Talk Radio with Derek Oliver. We'd like to send a shout-out to Derek Oliver and his team for this opportunity. Today is my first time live on social media through Facebook Live, so we're going to be talking about the return of Christ today. So we're going to go ahead and jump right into it. First, I'm going to go ahead and say a quick word of prayer, and we're going to go ahead and jump right into some scriptures. And today, I'm just going to freestyle. Like I say, this is my first time being on Facebook Live, and the Holy Spirit has been dealing with me to reach out to more people, amen, about the return of Christ. A lot of people are talking about the return of Christ, but the most important thing is not just the focus on the return of Christ, but the main thing is to focus on, are you ready for the return of Christ? That's the main question. That's the real question that everyone needs to ask themselves. Are you ready for the return of Christ? And so with that being said, we're going to go ahead and read my scriptures from 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verse 31, going over into 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter. So we're going to do everything the same thing as we always do, just like we're on the air, just like, with the exception this time, we're on Facebook Live. So we're going to go ahead and dive right into the scripture, and then we're going to go ahead and say a quick prayer. All right? So it reads from 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, verse 31. It says, but cover earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I'm become as a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. And though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profit me nothing. Charity suffered long and is kind. Charity envied not. Charity vaunted not itself. Is not puffed up. Do not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not our own. Is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when that which is perfect is come, then that which is in part shall be done away. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. But now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. Now abide faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. Charity meaning love. Dear most gracious Heavenly Father, we come thank you for another blessed day. We thank you for another opportunity to present your word to your people, dear Heavenly Father. We just come praying that we bring more souls into your kingdom, dear Heavenly Father, before you send your son to get your church, dear Heavenly Father, before the return of Christ. We bless and praise your holy name, dear Heavenly Father. We pray that this word go out and touch many. We pray that this word, dear Heavenly Father, goes out for the sake of salvation, dear Heavenly Father. We bless and praise your holy name forevermore. Amen. All right. Okay. Amen. So we are on live on Chaos Talk Radio. Once again, we'd like to thank Derek Oliver and his team for the opportunity. And also, we're using now the Facebook Live platform to reach more people in regards to winning more souls to Christ. So So again, we're going to go ahead and jump right into it. There's been a huge conversation for the past year or so about the return of Christ. Many believe that Christ is soon to return. That could be true. Now, we're not professing to know that when Christ is going to return. Nobody knows when Christ is going to return because Christ said it himself, nobody knows but the Heavenly Father. Amen. So we have no way of knowing, but we need to be prepared for the return of Christ. Amen. So what we're going to go ahead and do, and we're going to go ahead and jump into some scriptures real quick. And I want to take a look at Revelations. Amen. Go over to Revelations, the third chapter. I want to share some verses. Again, this is just a freestyle because today is a little different since we're on Facebook Live. We're just going to just do things kind of just kind of as we go. This is Revelation, the third chapter, verse 10. It says, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. Amen. All glory be to the Most High and his holy word. Amen. So that scripture that I just read to you, Revelation, the third chapter, verse 10, was to the church of Philadelphia. And this church was the one of the two churches out of seven churches that was not found with conviction from Christ. So when Christ gave John the message to send to the seven churches in Asia Minor, there was only two churches that did not have conviction out of the seven churches. The other five churches were condemned. Now, I'll sit and tell you right now that that is not a good thing because that basically said that Christ was not happy with the other five churches. We are right now in the last church, right now in the last church age. My dad used to say when we were kids growing up that every 2,000 years a great event according to the Bible takes place, and we are now in the 2,000 years basically waiting for Christ to return. We don't know if he's going to come back in our lifetimes or if he's going to come back in 100 years or 200 years, but I will share this with you. I never thought since I've been saved that Christ would even be a thought of returning in my lifetime. But now looking at some things that are going on in the world according to the book of Revelation, it's a huge possibility that Christ can come back any second, even right now as I speak, or any point in time soon that Christ can return. And it's very important that the church is aware of this, and this is not a message that you hear. In fact, most of your ministers and pastors and preachers are not even teaching out of the book of Revelation, which they should. It is very important that we warn the church about the return of Christ. That was the whole purpose of Christ giving John the message, was to warn him, to for him to go and warn the churches about his return, about being ready, about being prepared for Christ's return. So we want to make sure that we are ready. It doesn't matter if we are here when Christ returns. You never know. You may pass and leave this world today. The most important thing is that we are what? That we are prepared ourselves, okay? And so we're also going to cover how do you make sure that you know, how do you know that you know that you're saved? How do you know that you're ready for Christ's return? If Christ was to come back at this moment, how do you know that you're going back with Christ? Okay, there's a lot of people that's attending church. They have no clue what salvation is. They believe they do, but they don't. They have no clue what salvation is. They don't even know if they're going or not. I've been preaching now for 21 years, and it still amazes me to hear people say that they're not for certain or that they hope they're going. These are seasoned churchgoers. I call them churchgoers now because everybody that goes to church is not saved. You'll learn that. Just because you attend church, it doesn't make you saved. There are people, quote-unquote pastors that are sitting up in the pulpit, and don't mean that they say just because they're up there in the pulpit. I've learned that over the years, too. Not everybody that's standing over the pulpit is saved. Not everybody that attends church is saved. So it's very important that we, again, that we are knowledgeable ourselves because, again, Paul said that, brother, I have you not to be ignorant. Paul wants you to be knowledgeable. He wants you to know what's going on. He wants you to know the Bible, to know the scriptures. Paul even warned us. Paul said that we are to watch. Paul said watch for the seasons. And so that's what we're paying attention to right now as we are the church. We ought to pay attention to what's going on in the world and the things around us. We are not to ignore what's happening in the world. This is how we know as the church. the world won't know. They don't know Christ because they don't have the Holy Spirit indwelling them. So they have no way of knowing, amen, the seasons, the signs, what to look for. But we that are in the church that are believers, we certainly should know. Amen. But you have people that attend church. They're just attending church. And again, it amazes me that this is not even a conversation. If you have a conversation with any man or woman of God, especially if they're in a position like an evangelist, a pastor, a minister, a bishop, an overseer, none of them are acknowledging or even talking about the return of Christ or the possibility that Christ could be returning or warning the church to be ready for Christ's return, again, which is amazing to me. So well, let's look at some more scriptures, amen. And one of the things I want to point out, I know that I pointed out last week, let me take a look at my little notes here. It was the title, the Return of Christ, the Rescue of the Church is what I have written down. And so the reason that I wrote that down, because the word says that God has not given us the spirit of fear. So what does that mean? Well, you don't have a reason to fear, not because we're bad Christians or believers or anything like that. We don't have a reason to fear simply because God doesn't give us a reason to fear. Why? Because he protects us. And when someone is protecting you, you don't have a reason to fear. That's just like your children. When you protect your children, you let your children know what? There is no reason to fear. Why? Why is there no reason to fear? Because I'm protecting them. I'm here to protect you. So the fact that I have no reason to fear, I don't have the spirit of fear, is because I know that God fights my battles. We have to let God fight our battles. And when we learn to let God take control and drive and just fight our battles, life will be so much more easier and simple for us as who? The children of the Most High God, the children of God, amen? So now we're going to go ahead and look at some more scriptures, amen? Again, we are in the Church of the Laodicean Church, amen? Shout out to Elder Minister Bazaar. That brother has a lot of knowledge. I'll be on the air with him tomorrow evening as well. We'll be talking about eschatology, which is the study of end-time events. We will be on the air tomorrow. I've learned so much by mentoring under him, amen. He's been preaching this, amen, longer than I've been alive, amen. And I'm not that young, not that old, but I'm not that young, but amen. A lot of knowledge, amen, from that brother for sharing some things with me, amen. He says he learns from me, so that's a blessing to hear him say that, amen. But we are in the last church. This is the Laodicean church. If you know anything about Revelation, the third chapter and the seven churches, the Laodicean church is the last church, amen, that Christ sent a message to, had John send the message to. Now, this was a church that was lukewarm, amen, and it fits. This is why we have to pay attention to what's going on. You're not going to hear this in your everyday church. Let's just keep it real. The Laodicean church was a lukewarm church. And a lot of people, to understand what the lukewarm church is, you have to break down the scripture. What is a lukewarm? A lukewarm church is a church that's like haphazardly. They're straddling, okay? But they need to make up their mind. And this is the thing today. You must make up your mind, amen, if you're going to serve God or if you're going to serve the devil. See, when you don't serve God, you automatically, by default, serve Satan. Let's just keep it real. So you have to make up your mind that I want to become a believer and I want to live my life for Christ. I want to live my life for the Most High God. Amen. And so this was a lukewarm church because at the time, these people that attended this church, they were people that was looked upon as wealthy or well-to-do. They had a lot. And you think about that right now, the church all over the world is wealthy pretty much. The church now has a lot of well-to-do membership, a lot of well-to-do people who are attending these churches. Also, they were stuck up. If you do the research on the Laodicean people, they were stuck up. They were like snobbish. And I read that and studied that, and that amazed me because you want to know why. That's the same thing now today with a lot of churches that you go to and you attend. This is why most of the people, when they come from the world and they come inside the church, people treat them cold. I hear people from the world say that all the time. I don't like church people because church people think they're all that because they're snobbish, they're cold-hearted. And that's sad that people from the world would say that about the church. And it's actually true because I found that most churches I go to, nobody wants to show love. My wife was just complaining about that the other day. She was saying, you know, nobody wants to show love in the church anymore. Nobody is warm anymore. I said, you know what, you're right. And that just lets you know where we are. We are approaching the return of Christ. Now, also you think about the falling away of the church. We have to talk about the falling away of the church because I was watching something on YouTube the other day, and they were saying that the falling away of the church is about to happen. The falling away of the church is happening right now. It's not about to happen. It's happening right now. People don't, and let me explain what the falling away of the church is, because so many people believe the falling away of the church is people who are saved are going to walk away from their salvation. Now, those of us who study the Bible and know the Bible and understand the scriptures know that you cannot lose your salvation. The Bible teaches that nowhere. You cannot lose your salvation. So let's make sure we get that straight right now. That's improper and incorrect teaching, okay? You cannot lose your salvation. Okay, so the falling away of the church is where more and more people would turn their back on God and say, I don't want to hear that. I don't want to hear nothing about God. You keep that. That's the falling away of the church, meaning that they are falling away from the church. That's what the falling away of the church is. It's not people who are already in the church saved with the Holy Spirit are going to walk away. When you say that that people who have the Holy Spirit indwelling in them and they are saved and they can lose their salvation, you're basically saying that Lucifer has power over the cross, which is incorrect. Lucifer has no power over the cross. Lucifer has no power over God. Amen? So let's make sure that we get this clear. Lucifer is not a nemesis to God. A nemesis is someone who can rival you. Lucifer cannot rival God. He is an enemy of God, but he is not a nemesis. Amen? So he has no power over Christ to take you from your salvation. Amen? And I'm going to read some scriptures here just to share that with you here in a little bit. But let's deal a little bit more with the Laodicean church. Amen? Because that is the church that we are in now. You see a lot of wealth ministries. That's all you hear. That's all that you've been hearing for the past, say, 25, almost 30 years is people preaching wealth in churches, people talking about money. Every time you go up and they witness to you and they talk to you, well, God's going to bless you with the house. He's going to bless you with the car. They promise you all these things that you're going to receive just by attending church, just by being obedient. And if you read the word, God doesn't promise us in this lifetime anything like that. Amen? Our blessings and rewards are going to come when? In the eternities, in the afterlife. Now, it doesn't mean that God cannot bless you with a good job or income or bless your business or bless you on your job, bless raises, bless increases, bless promotions. Doesn't mean that God doesn't bless in that area, because he does and he can. He can bless you with a new car. He can bless you, amen, with a house, amen, if he sees fit. But do understand that's not the purpose of God, is to see you prosper here on earth. The ministry is to go forth and to save as many souls as we possibly can, amen, for the kingdom of heaven. We want as many people saved as possible. That's the most important thing. How many people can we draw? That's why Christ said, if I be lifted up, I shall what? Draw all men. That is the purpose. If we preach Christ, we preach the death, burial, and resurrection, we preach love and salvation, amen, the church would grow. But so many people in leadership in the churches are so much into their own. They are so interested in their own personal gain. And it's not about your personal gain. It's about winning souls for Christ. Amen. So this was the warning that Christ gave to John. Warn the seven churches, amen, that I am to come quickly. And when I come, I have what? I have a reward with me. Amen. So you're going to get your reward by living for Christ now at this day and time, at this day and age. Not so much concerned about your personal gain. Amen. Amen. Not so much for your personal gain right now here on earth. Amen. You know, the enemy's trying to attack. Amen. So the main important thing is that we are prepared for Christ, that we are living our lives according to the scriptures. Amen. According to the word. Excuse me. It's a little different being live on the radio. Amen. Excuse me. Amen. They told me when you go live on Facebook, they said you can't pause, but there's certain things you can't do. You're live. So it's different from the radio. You can do things behind the scene that that you can't do when you're on the radio. But amen. But nonetheless, amen, we're going to keep it moving. Amen. If I got to give me something to drink, I'm going to give me something to drink. Amen. So we want the church and the body of Christ to make sure that they know that they are saved, that they are ready to go home. Amen. In fact, Christ said to watch. He said over in the book of Matthew to watch, for he's coming soon. He told John to warn the churches. He said, watch, for I come quickly. Amen. And Paul talked about it. So this is very important that we are what? We are watching. We are paying close attention to the return of Christ. Okay? Now, in doing so, we are to warn who? The people closest to us, our loved ones. I've never understood why parents have kids and don't force them to go to church. I remember I was just sitting with my friends. The parents would come to church, but they wouldn't bring the kids. I'm like, you know, I didn't understand. But my dad, he made sure that's one thing you were doing. You was in his house. He made sure you were getting up, going to Sunday school. We had to go to be at Sunday school. So he made sure that we were up, getting ready for church every Sunday morning. You know, that was his thing religiously. He went to church, and I'm grateful for it because it made me aware that there is a God. Amen. It made me aware that there is something more than just me, because a lot of times we think, you know, some people think there is no God, or people grew up in church and they kind of grow out of church. I kind of grew out of church too, but not to the extent to where I just didn't know that there was a God. I was aware that there was a God, but as a young man, I wasn't ready to serve him. Amen. And so thank the Most High for saving my soul now 21 years. Amen. I teach it to my wife, my kids. I make sure that my kids, so one thing that I gave them when they were young, I made sure that they understood salvation. And the reason that I say that, because you have pastors actually preaching in church over a pulpit to a group of people, a congregation of people that don't even understand salvation. It amazes me how they're actually teaching and they don't teach salvation. So the first thing I always ask when I teach or minister to a group of people, if I'm teaching, let's say Sunday school or something like that, or I'm teaching about salvation, I want to know who, if you know about salvation. I want to know who I'm talking to, because that is very important that you know what salvation is. How can you be in church 30 and 40 years and not know what salvation is? So if I ask you the simple question, what must I do to be saved? That's what I lead off when I teach any type of Wednesday night Bible study, any type of Sunday school. I need to know, are the people I'm talking to, are you even saved? If not, why am I even talking to you? Because the first thing we need to establish is salvation. Amen. That's what Paul did. Anytime Paul went out and he spread the gospel to any of the churches, the Ephesians, the Galatians, the Thessalonians, he established salvation. That's what we're supposed to do. That's our job as preachers and ministers, is to establish salvation, not just go out and just speak to people and just leave. Our goal is to make sure that you receive salvation and that you are saved. I'm not going to be teaching you every week and you're not saved. Let's make sure you know what salvation is, okay? So, amen. So let's go there real quick. Let's take a look at Romans, the 10th chapter. This is what we call a plan of salvation when I was in seminary school. This is one thing they taught us. It's called the plan of salvation. You don't really see it taught that much, but it needs to be taught. So we're gonna talk about that today, amen. Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 9 and 10. I'm going to read this to you, then we're going to break it down a little bit. Amen. So it looks like everything is going good this week. Sound check, nobody's complaining about they can't hear me. Last week I was loud. I was just talking. They say, we can't hear you. We can see you, but we can't hear you. Amen. So this week you guys can both see me and hear me. Amen. My wife ain't sending me no little messages to let me know anything. So everything must be good. Amen. All glory be to the Most High. Amen. So we come from Romans, the 10th chapter, verses 9 and 10. This is what it says. It says, verse 9 says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth. Amen. Let's stop right there. Amen. I love to break down the word and make it simple. Bible says make it plain, make it simple. And it says, in all you're getting, amen, what did it say? Get an understanding. So think about this. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, okay, if I say something to you, amen, it's a confession, amen, depending on what it is, okay? So if I tell my wife that I love her, I have just what? Confess to my wife that I what? I love her, all right? That's to keep it simple. It says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord, Yahshua, amen. Some of y'all call him Jesus, which is fine. And shall believe in thine heart that Yahweh, again, some of you call him God, but I call him Yahweh, have raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Amen. See, what I like about God is simple. Man is complicated. Lucifer is complicated. God is simple. So what I love about the God I serve, God that I serve don't make things complicated like algebra, physics, or, you know, or like a job, or like something that people, he don't make things difficult. He keeps things simple, okay? So he said that if you confess with your mouth and you believe in your heart, thou shalt be saved. Just, that's it. Just that plain and simple, okay? Now, man would have you to believe, or most people, amen, some of the churches that I've been to, some of the pastors would have you to believe that salvation is by works. The Bible, as you can see, don't say that. Paul never said that. I've read all the letters from Paul, the epistles from Paul. I've never seen that anywhere. Read these books, studied these books, don't see that anywhere. Paul has never said anywhere in his book, his writing. Christ never said it in any of his teachings. If you do certain things, you'll become saved. Salvation is not about what you do. Let's get that straight. Are we to live righteous? Yes, because you have some people that throw out there, well, faith without works is dead. You're right. Faith without works. Notice it says faith first. Faith means that you have to believe. That's what faith is. It's you're believing God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Then if you have that faith, then you can perform the works. See, the Holy Spirit must come in and indwell you first. And once you become filled with the Holy Spirit, then that's when you go and perform the work. It's not about because it ain't works first, then the faith comes. That's how it works. But you got so many preachers and pastors that are teaching that, and that is incorrect teaching. You must receive salvation first. This is why Paul said what he said and Christ said what he said when he dealt with Nicodemus. But he said, Paul said that if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, that's it. You are saved. Some churches, some pastors will have you to believe that, man, if you ain't climbing Mount Everest, you ain't saved. That is not true, and that is incorrect, okay? That is not how salvation works. And I encourage people, if you're teaching that, to pray and meditate and study more and really just stop teaching that because that's not true. Amen. Now watch what it says in verse 10. It says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Now you say, well, Pastor, interpret that scripture for me. Amen. Amen. So we're going to interpret verse 10 for you. So I'm going back to the example of me and my wife. So if I confess to my wife that I love her, amen, I confess to her, why have I confessed it to her? Because I first believed it were in my heart. And because what's on the inside, they say what's on the inside must come out of you. So because I believe in my heart that I love my wife, I'm going to do what? I'm going to confess it to her. And in most cases, on a daily basis, I tell my wife, I love you. I tell my kids, I love you. Because why? Confession is made with the heart. You must confess it from your heart first, meaning that I believe it, and I confess it. I have to say it. Well, it's the same thing. If I believe that Christ died for my sins, I'm going to confess with my mouth, and I believe it in my heart. But it's interchanging, meaning that I believe it in my heart first, meaning that I had to say it. So that's how it works. Because you love a person deep on the inside, you have to say, you have to tell him, I love you. So that's why you tell him that you love him, because you are. You confess it in your heart. I mean, you confess it with your mouth, you believe in your heart. Amen. So that's salvation. That's the plan of salvation, just plain and simple. Not, oh, you got to live right. I remember some brother tried to tell me that salvation is based on what you do. I said, well, brother, that really makes no sense. I said, I know we were taught that because my dad used to teach the same thing, rest his soul. I'm not knocking him, because you got to understand, preachers from that time came from a time to where we're not sure they got it from, but they were very religious. And that's fine to be religious, but let's make sure we're teaching the word, we're rightly dividing the word, okay? So he tried to tell me that salvation is about what you do first. I said, okay, well, then if that's the case, because Paul also said in Romans, the third chapter, that we are all under sin, meaning that we sin daily. So you mean to tell me, is it a grading scale? Well, we know it's not a grading scale. It'd be impossible for it to be a grading scale because God hates all sin. So it don't matter if you think you should get an A, God will cast you into the lake of fire because he hates sin. See, it took Christ to come and die for our sins, and because he died for our sins, that's why I'm covered. That's why the Bible says that we shall scarcely make it in, meaning that we're going to barely make it in, meaning that the only reason that you get in is because Christ died for your sins. Had nothing to do with you. You just confessed. You just waved the white flag and just gave up and said, you know what? God, I give up. I don't want to fight this battle no more. I want to give my soul to you. I want to live for you. And that's what it's about. Amen. It's about confession. It's about, amen, living the life for Christ. But you have to have faith first in order to live your life for Christ. Amen. So let's go ahead and move forward. Amen. So let's get back to, amen. So we talk about Revelation, and we're talking about Christ, the return of Christ, and how Christ is going to rescue the church. So let's just kind of deal with that for a little bit, probably for the next 20 minutes, on how Christ is going to, amen, rescue the church. You hear so many people in this pandemic are talking about just the preparation. And I'm not saying not to go out and buy food and groceries and water to stock up. That's fine. I get it. You know, we got some things put back. It makes sense. But don't think that you can prepare for the tribulation. I'm hearing so many people on social media saying you better get ready. You got to be ready for the tribulation. You got to be ready. You cannot prepare for what's coming. Amen. There is nothing in this world that can prepare you for what's coming. This is why the only thing that can prepare you, us, the church, for what's coming is salvation. You must receive salvation. That's the only way that you're going to escape, amen, what's coming, the tribulation. Because Paul talked about it over in 1 Corinthians, amen, the 15th chapter. Paul talked about how God is going to come back and get the church, okay? And when he returns to get the church does not have to worry about tribulation. Think about this. What sense would it make if he says, I'll put no more on you than you can bear? Now, think about that. I'll say it again. God said, I'll put no more on you than you can bear. And you think about that. And you think about what Daniel said and what Christ said about the tribulation, about it will be no other time like it on the face of the earth. It's going to be so horrible on the face of the earth during that time that it's going to be unbearable. You can't prepare for what's coming. First of all, there's going to be starvation. It's going to be massive starvation. There's not going to be hardly any food. To buy food, food's going to cost you almost a day's worth of work. So when you go to work that day, most of your money is going to go to, if you want something to eat daily, like we eat daily, we take eating for granted, as we should now, because we don't have to worry about it. But I go to my refrigerator right now, I get something to eat, snack. You know, we got snacks, we got food, we got drinks, we got water. You got plenty now. And the tribulation is not going to be like that. In fact, I saw something on social media the other day, somebody posted talking about this about food scarcity coming. I'm like, it's funny that they would say that Because you think about Revelation, the sixth chapter, when it talks about as soon as Christ gets to come back to rapture the church or gather the church, however way you want to say it, once Christ comes back to get the church is gone. And then the Holy Spirit is going to allow Lucifer and the false prophet to do their – he's going to move out the way. See, the only reason why there's not food scarcity, these horrible things haven't happened, the world hasn't been turned upside down, is because why? The Holy Spirit, God. God would not allow these things to take place at this time right now. Because why? The Holy Spirit. God won't allow that right now. The Holy Spirit is still in the world. The Holy Spirit is still, God is still in control. And so what's going to happen is that when the Holy Spirit steps back and the Antichrist come on the scene, it's going to be severity. You think these people complain about this pandemic. This pandemic is a laughing joke compared to what's coming. I'm just being real with you, and I'm not trying to scare people, but I'm just telling you the truth. That's why I tell people, man, get saved. Receive salvation, so you won't have to worry about that. You know, working at the bank, this lady was telling me, it's kind of funny but not funny, because she said she spent her last of her money buying a gun and bullets. I said, Lord have mercy. I said, really? She said, yeah. I said, man, you ain't heard, it's bad out here. And apparently, no, I don't really get to watching the news a lot, but apparently, you know, people are really out here doing the most. Man, let me tell you, you cannot prepare for what's coming. Nothing in this world, and I tell people, you know, I see people preaching that the church is going to be here during the tribulation. Don't preach that. The church will not be here. I just showed you Revelation, the third chapter, verse 10. The church, and let me read that again, just in case. Let me come back and revisit that scripture. Let's revisit that scripture. Revelation, the third chapter, verse 10. Let's see what it says again. It says, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. Know that this is the church that Christ is talking to. This is Christ talking. The letters are in red. He's talking to the church, because how do we know he's talking to the church? He gave John the message to give to the seven churches throughout the church age. Here we are 2,000 years later from the time that Christ gave John this message. He says, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation. Watch this. Which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth. So we know that he's talking to us, the believers, that he's going to keep us from the hour of temptation to try the rest of the world. These are the people who are unbelievers that have chosen to not believe and to receive Christ. So it's not for us to worry about. Again, we don't need to stock up and build 10 houses and warehouses and stock up guns and bullets and everything that you could think of. It's not for us. It's for those who say they don't believe in Christ. It's those who say, I don't believe in God. Yeah, you better stock up as much as you can. And you don't need to stock up on food, bullets, because people are going to be cutting up, because you're going to have a have and a have not. And we all know that when there's something, when something tragic happens, who suffers the most? The poor people do. The poor people are going to suffer the most during the Great Tribulation. They're all going to suffer. It's all going to be bad for everyone. But the poor people are going to suffer the most. Pray for what's coming, okay? You think you can. You know, you buy all that you can. Spend all the money in your bank account. If you got $1 million, you want to spend it, it's not going to be enough. And so understand this. We as the church don't need to worry about that. We just need to teach salvation and go out and tell more people about Christ to receive salvation, amen, so that we won't have to worry about that. We will be out of here. The church will be gone home. And once we're gone and you're going to see the Antichrist come on the scene, there's going to be no food. Now think about this. If the church is here and there's no food, how are you going to feed your kids? I've been in a situation like that one time, and I was blessed to be delivered out of it, but it's not a good feeling. to have nothing in your cupboards and you have kids saying, "Dad, what are we doing today?" Never been faced with that in my life, amen. And pray that I won't have to ever see it again. That it was a blessing that shortly that we was able to take care of and feed them. It wasn't like we were starving for days or anything. The point that I'm making is I've never had my covers that low, okay? So can you imagine having no food? So let's go with this theory that most people out here that are teaching that the church is going through the tribulation. That means that the children will be here, which if you know and study and read the Bible, you know that when Christ comes back to get the church, the children will not be here, okay? So let's go with this theory that people say, oh, well, you know, the church is going to be here. That means your children will be here and you will be here. So now you can't because the people who are single are going to struggle to eat. One day with the work, a single person will barely be able to take care of themselves. But I mean that in order for them to pay bills to live, they probably won't be able to keep a car enough. They probably will barely be able to have a roof over their head, meaning that you're going to have to skip some meals or you're going to become very thin. You're going to go on a strict diet just to survive during the tribulation. We know that the waters are going to be tainted because of wormwood. The water is going to turn to blood. So now what you're going to drink? And anything that's made up out of anything that we drink has to have is water-based. You have to have water to make any type of drink. I don't care if it's soda water, juice, you got to have water. Now, you can squeeze something from a juice, but it's going to be, you know, it's going to be strictly juice. You make it do that, but you got water to water the plants, like oranges. How you going to grow oranges if you got no water? Starvation is going to be huge during the especially the first 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation. So, and I don't even have to go too much further into it. You got food scarcity, nothing to drink. There's going to be wars. We know there's World War III. Amen. And this is crazy that nobody's talking about some of the things that's going on. The world powers, the larger countries, are kind of having wars against each other. And we know that there's always been rumors of wars, but we know that World War III takes place the first 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation. So how are you going to survive? So as a believer, don't you think that would be more than we could bear? I believe it would. If I couldn't feed my family at all, that's more than you could bear. But we know that God said that he won't put no more on you than what you could bear. Now watch this. Let me show you something else. I'm going to share this with you. And let's go to the book. I think it's Peter. And I can't remember which one it is. But I want you to know that you are in the hands of God. And when you're in the hands of God, he's going to take care of you. Amen. But I pray for those who are ignoring God's word, who scoff and laugh at it. And even the church. Even people in the church. Man, I mean, you'd be shocked and surprised when you have this conversation with people in the church. They don't want to hear it. They ain't got time. That ain't gonna happen. That ain't gonna happen. Some of the stuff that I hear is just, oh, that's not gonna happen. Or that's a but may not be in our time. It may not be in our time. It's a huge. That could be a huge possibility. But the way things are going, it's a possibility that it could happen during our time. That Christ could come back. Okay. So, the point I'm making is that we need to prepare the church. Now, watch what it says over in 2 Peter. The second chapter, verse 9, it says, "The Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptation and to reserve the unjust unto the day of judgment to be punished." So we know that God's going to deliver the church, okay, because it says he's going to deliver the godly out of temptation. The same language over in Revelation 3 and 10, and to reserve the unjust. In other words, he's going to reserve this. So in other words, so that you can see right there, God's going to separate the believers from the unbelievers. He's going to reserve them to be judged. They're going to be judged for one, for not believing, for persecuting Christ, for scoffing against God, speaking evil, blaspheming God. Amen. Amen. I don't know why. Needed more water today than usual. Amen. Maybe it's because I'm live. The enemy's trying to attack. But the point that I'm making is that as the church, We need not worry ourselves with that. The church is going to be delivered. We'll be in heaven during this time. Amen. Excuse me. We'll be in heaven during this time. We won't need to worry or concern ourselves with being prepared for the tribulation. Number one, because you cannot prepare for the tribulation. That's why Daniel said what he said. Let's go over to Daniel, the 12th chapter, and show you, because I love you, I love to share scriptures with you so you'll know what's going on. Amen. Let's take a look at some of these scriptures. Amen. All right. Let's take a look, see what the scriptures say. Daniel, the 12th chapter. Amen. You know, I'm a little old school, so I don't really care for using the devices. I love that book, the Bible. Amen. Daniel, the 12th chapter. This is what it says. It says the time of the end, Daniel, the 12th chapter. It says, and at that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. So the scripture, what Daniel is simply saying is that the angel, which some people believe they interpret this angel to be the actual archangel Michael, or they believe to be Christ. Either or, we know that God is going to send someone to basically protect his children. Now, this is not the church that Daniel is referring to. This is actually the children of Israel. And we know that the children of Israel, they have 7 years to minister. That's what the tribulation is about. It's going to be the last 7 years of Satan's rule, not the end of the earth. A lot of people think it's the end of the end. It's not the end. This is the beginning of the end. That's what the 7 years is. But what they don't realize is that this is talking about the children of God and how the children of God, amen, is going to be protected from the Antichrist. See, God always knows how to deliver his people. He knows how to protect his people, especially when you're doing right. God knows, I know that for a fact. I'm a witness to that God protects his children. He protects his people, just like you protect your kids. Would you not protect your children from anything? Of course you would. Within your power and all, whatever power that you have, and if you had the power that God had, you would definitely protect your children. Well, that's what God does. So the great tribulation is not for the church. It's for the unjust. It's for the ungodly. It's for the people who have turned their backs on God and laughed at God. So I don't believe in that. I don't want nothing to do with that. Well, God's going to show them in the end. He's going to show them that say that I don't want nothing to do with that. Okay? So it says, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. So this is why Paul said what he said over in 1 Corinthians. Let me go back over to 1 Corinthians. This is why Paul said what he said when he was talking about how we shall be delivered in the twinkling of an eye. Okay? And also how God's going to deliver those 144,000. He's going to protect the children of Israel during the tribulation time. But this is why Paul said that we shall be changed. He said those of us that are alive and remain shall be caught up in a twinkling of an eye. So before the Antichrist can even walk on the great stage of this world, God is going to gather the church together. The church won't be here. The church will be gone. The 2,000 years of the church is almost up. And they can be up any minute, any second, any minute, any day, any hour, any week, month, year. Soon, or maybe it won't be in our lifetime. We're not trying to predict when Christ is going to return. We're not doing that. We don't know when Christ is going to return. But what we do know is that we are prepared. As the church, I'm prepared. My wife is prepared. My children are prepared. And if you go to church, why shouldn't you make sure that your kids have salvation? I heard somebody say something like, oh, they don't know anything about that at that age. Well, that's why so many people are going up out here in the world cutting up. Because the Bible says, train up a child in the way they should go. So when they get old, they should not what? Depart. I mean, you got to teach your kids when they're babies. I would teach my kids when they were little, 2, 3. you instill that in them at a very young age. You don't wait till they get 18, 19, and 20 when they tell them, you try to tell them about God. They're going to shrug you off. You're not listening to that. You ain't took them to church and made them go to church and all this time. They don't want to hear that. So you have to train them up. That's why the Bible said that when you train them up, they shall not what? Depart. That's the truth. Why? Why would they not depart? Because the Holy Spirit is dwelling in them already. See, the Holy Spirit can't leave you. That's why I tell people, stop teaching that you can lose your salvation. The Holy Spirit does not leave those that believe. That's not how it works. Amen. So the hour is almost up. We got a few more minutes left. Amen. So the resurrection is a promise to the church that Christ is going to come back and get the church. Amen. And we see the time, and I will acknowledge this, that I thought the falling away of the church was going to happen at a time to where they was going to close all the churches and take all the Bibles up. I remember in the early 2000s when I first got saved, that was a huge thing in courts. People were trying to go to the courts and say, oh, we want to take up the Bible. We don't want no more people preaching in churches and stuff. That's not what's going to happen because the world false, the Babylonian religion church is about to come on the scene. So you got to understand, everybody that used the Bible don't represent God. There are a lot of people who preach from the Bible that don't even represent God. You got to know the truth. You got to know the word. You got to know what God's word says. Amen. In order to know who's right. Paul talked about this. Paul said, if anybody preach any other gospel, where they come from, heaven, hell, it don't matter where they come from. Paul said, if they preach any other gospel, the gospel I'm teaching you, Paul said, basically run. And that's what's happening now. People in the church don't even know when people are preaching the other gospel. You know, you have people that want to ask you questions about, well, how do you know this and how do you know that? It's in the Bible. It's in the same book that you read. Don't you read out of church and the congregation? It ain't a mystery. It ain't hidden. It's right in front of us. So you need to teach and preach, amen, what's here. Study and ask God for an understanding. He'll give it to you. But the problem is people are not concerned about souls. That's why ain't nothing revealed to them. No, it's really going to reveal nothing to you if you're out here trying to make money and con people out of money. Let's just be real. You have to teach the rightly divided word. If you're out here showboating, God ain't going to reveal nothing to you. That's for anybody. It doesn't matter if you're a pastor, a preacher, or if you're a person in the congregation. Your intent must be to save souls for God, and the Holy Spirit will open up. He will show you a lot of these things. Amen. So let's go over to, I want to share this with you real quick. Amen. You know, we were talking about the return of Christ and how Christ is going to rescue the church. Okay? We are in the last church. We talked about the Laodicean church. Amen. Let me go back there real quick and talk about that. I got a little time still left. Amen. A few minutes. Let's talk about the Laodicean church. Okay? This is the last church. And then the church, I know I talked about that earlier, Doc. You know, how do you know that this is the last church? If you study the Laodicean church, amen, about who they were, they were looked at upon as not, they was wealthy, but not like wealth, like filthy rich wealthy, but they were well-to-do people. And most of the people in that city were merchants. They were like well-to-do people. They made good money. They made a good living. And so you think, and what it reminds me of is it reminds me of America, how a lot of people in this country compared to other people in the world, America's rich. I had a man tell me that one time. He said, you're rich. You're rich. I'm like, what are you talking about? I'm not rich. Well, what he was saying was compared to where he came from, which was a third world country. Now I understand what he was saying. I was like, yeah, I kind of see why he would say that. I'm not saying I'm rich. Okay, but I understood what he was saying. He was saying, you know, you have a lot. You're blessed. And we are, when you compare what we have to what people have in third world countries, we are grossly blessed. We have food galore. You know, we ain't missing meals over in the United States. Most people, amen. If you don't really have it, you know somebody got it. You go to a friend house or relative, mama, grandma, and you can eat every day, right? Amen. You're not missing any meals, amen. Amen. You're not really missing any meals. And so we live pretty good. We're entertained pretty good, even though some people may live paycheck to paycheck. But, you live pretty good still. And so the point that I'm making is that we are so blessed in this country, and that you look at a lot of churches and the way a lot of the people act in the church, it's amazing. You know, when people act snobbish, people act stuck up, that's not God. Let me tell you that right now. You got pastors that act like that. That's not God, to act stuck up, to act snobbish, to put your nose in the air, treat people like you're better than them. That's not God. God is not in that. God has absolutely nothing to do with, people acting that way. That's not godly. Okay? That's not the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is about love. Okay? So next week I'll be back on about the grid to shut it down. We'll be back on the air next week. All glory to the Most High. Thank you all for listening. It's been a blessing. Again, it's my first time on Facebook Live. We're just trying to reach out to more people. That's all. We want more souls saved. We want more people to come into the kingdom of God. So, family, we love you. Be blessed. Remember, family, you're a royalty. I am royalty. We'll see how this goes. You know, we'll probably do it again. We'll see how it goes. But other than that, I am on Chaos Talk Radio with Derek Oliver and his team. In fact, let me give you some information. So, if you're listening, if you want to continue to hear us next week, we've been teaching this, so there's nothing new here. Amen. So let me see if I can get the number. Amen. I'll share with you here. Amen. I'm not huge on social media, so I'm not too tech savvy. Maybe I'll put the number in the comment section where you can see it. The number is 845-277-9094. And it's not just me. In fact, he has a roster of ministers. And so, maybe you want to enjoy listening to somebody else. If you enjoy the word, amen, listen throughout the week. There's someone, I believe, on every single day throughout the week. I know they'll be on tomorrow morning. They're on Monday night, 6 p.m. Central Time. I will be back on tomorrow evening, 4 p.m. Central Time with Elder Bazaar. And this is what he teaches. He teaches eschatology. This is what we talk about. We talk about eschatology. This is now my thing now until the Lord calls me home or until Christ returns, is to teach eschatology. I teach love and salvation. That's all that I teach. And I can teach anywhere in the Bible. Don't get me wrong. But my main focus is for people to become saved and to get you prepared for the return of Christ and to shake and wake up the church. That's our main goal, is wake up the church, because the church is asleep. You can rest assured the church is asleep. Okay? The church, pastors ain't preaching out of Revelation. None of the churches I've been to. I've been preaching for 21 years, and my dad was the only dad I ever saw talk about Revelation. Other than some priests that get on TV, they may talk about Revelation. But most churches, I can tell you right now, probably 90-95% of the churches, pastors won't even touch Revelation. And that should not be. This should be the discussion, the talk right now in the world. Why? Because it's needed. We need to wake up the church and let the church know, hey, at some point, Christ is going to return soon. And sooner than it was 2,000 years ago, sooner than it was just the last a few minutes ago, Christ is due to return. And we need to be ready, because here's what people think, and this is bad. People think that they are saved by default because they attend church. People think they are saved by default because they're doing good. Oh, I'm not that bad of a person. Man, you must confess with your mouth and believe in your heart and know that you know that the Holy Spirit dwells in your heart, and that you are showing love. You are projecting love to people. That's how you know. If you don't love, the Bible says, if you don't, how can you love God and you only love your brothers right next to you? That's what the scripture says. The Bible says God is love. You got so many people in church, even pastors, don't even show love. People in the church don't even show love. But they so saved. The church is so saved, but they can't show love. Can't even show love to the brothers and sisters. Yeah, okay. Well, anyway, family, it's been nice. It's been fun. It's been good. I appreciate it. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. Again, I'll be on that number I gave you, the Chaos Talk Radio, with Derek Oliver and his team. I thank you for this platform, this opportunity. Now we have another platform, so we'll see how it goes. Hopefully we get a good response from Facebook. Remember, family, you are royalty. I am royalty. I love you. You all have a blessed and wonderful week. So.
Thank you.